Amen. Praise the Lord. Title this morning, A Hand Has Touched the Throne. Felt the word of the Lord come into my heart with this phrase, A Hand Has Touched the Throne. And we're going to begin today with Exodus 17, verses 11 to 13. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited, weakened, destroyed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. The passage closes out, we'll look at it in just a moment or two, with these words. Then the Lord said, A hand has touched the throne. When Moses' hands were up, there was victory. When his hands came down, there was defeat. Amalek prevailed. And the Lord said, when Moses' hands were up, God says, A hand has touched the throne. And that hand of Moses touched the throne of God in such a powerful way that he entirely defeated the enemies that day and drove them back so the people of God could continue on in the promises and in the blessing of the Lord. A hand has touched the throne. Would you say those words with me this morning? A hand has touched the throne. And I trust this morning that we will have a sense of the deep compelling in the heart of our Father, that His people stretch out their hands to Him in such a way that they gain victories and obtain promises and inherit spiritual destiny. We live a miracle life, this life of Jesus Christ in us. It's something the world does not have. We've been separated out of the world into the presence of God, and we have a life that they do not understand. And I pray by the Spirit of God that our understanding will increase. Because the Lord has given to every one of us an opportunity, a holy invitation to get involved with His presence and with His Word and with the Holy Spirit in such a way that we can bring untold blessing into our lives, into our families, into the earth, and that we can set something in motion that will last for generations. Hallelujah. For the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward Him. The eyes of the Lord are searching, the Bible says, across the whole earth today. The eyes of the Lord are searching this place today. Is there someone that I can show Myself strong on their behalf like I did for Moses that day on the hill? Is there someone who has a heart and a perfect heart before the Lord? That is an undivided heart, a loyal heart, a heart that is holding nothing back from the Lord. What is your request and what is your desire before the Lord? When Esther the queen came before the king that wonderful appointed day, she didn't know how she'd be received. She didn't know if she would be received before the king. But the king said to her, what do you desire and what is your request? Even to half the kingdom, it will be given to you. I will make you an equal partner with me in the kingdom of the Son of God. The bride of Christ today, you know what Esther did? She needed an audience with the king. She needed inheritance. She needed blessing. She needed the move of God in her land and in her family and for her people. And the Bible says when before she went in before the king, she prepared herself. And she put on her royal robes. She put on those garments of salvation and robes of righteousness and robes of rejoicing and the garment of praise and the spirit of humility. And when she stepped into the inner courts of the king's house, when the king saw her, he was moved at her appearance. He was moved at her spirit. He was moved at her beauty. And he said, he extended the golden scepter to her and said, Queen Esther, whatever you desire, it will be given you up to half the kingdom. Good morning, Bride of Christ. Good morning, Queen Esther. It will be given to you even to half the kingdom. Jesus said in Luke 12:32, He said, fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And we are a little flock compared to the masses of people that do not follow the Lord and harden their heart across the world. The flock of God, those who are the sheep of his pasture, are a little flock. But when you bring it down in personal terms, we are a little family. And you and I are a little life. But yet the Lord says, don't fear. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. A hand has touched the throne. A hand has touched the throne. Back to Exodus 17, verses 8 to 16. This entire passage, the Bible says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Amalek means warlike, representing, of course, our enemy and the forces set against us. And Rephidim means weakening the hands, shrinking the hands, to weaken or slacken the hands. The enemy wants our hands down. The Lord wants our hands up. Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Let's get their hands down so they can't touch the throne of God. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial, write this for a memory in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. God's promise that he will destroy every enemy of his people. Satan, the flesh life, the world spirit. God says, I will utterly put out the remembrance of the enemies from under heaven. And Moses responded. He built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner, the Lord our flag of victory. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. From generation to generation. And we live in our generation. He said, the Lord has sworn that he will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. The Lord has sworn. Now, the interpretation of this last verse can go out in three ways. Because in the marginal and more literally, it says, there is a hand on the throne of Jehovah. There is a hand on the throne of Jehovah. The first way you can interpret that is the hand of Amalek, the enemy, went up against the throne of God. And there are some Bible translations that reflect that. They say because the hand of Amalek, because the hand of the enemy is against the throne of God in defiance and rebellion and resistance. He does not want to see the will of God done in the earth. The hand of Amalek is against the throne. Second, the hand of the Lord is upon the throne. That God himself in covenant oath put his hand on his throne and said, I will utterly blot out the remembrance of the enemies of the Lord from the face of the earth. I will utterly blot them out. The Lord swore by his own hand. The Lord put his hand on the throne. And third, the hand of Moses was on that throne of God. As some translations say, Moses said, I lifted up my hand to the Lord. I lifted up my hand to the throne of God. And we know that Moses on that hill in Exodus 17, those hands weren't just lifted in the immediate vicinity he was in. Those hands were going out, pleading promises, breaking powers, resisting the enemy. A hand touched the throne, and God gave his people victory that day. Because Moses stretched out his hands in a fervent manner, with his heart on fire to see the people of God blessed, to see God's kingdom come in the earth. The Bible says there was breakthrough, there was victory, there was progress that day, there was advancement for the people of God, and the enemies of the Lord were weakened and they were broken and driven back, and the people of God continued on to their inheritance in the promised land. You mean a man can touch the throne of God from earth in such a way that there's breakthrough, the powers of the enemy are destroyed, families are blessed, the people of God walk forth into their inheritance? The Bible says it is so, and that God wills it to be so. Well, you might say, I'm not Moses. I'm not Moses. He was a great man. He was this, he was that. But the truth is, God says no. He says, I'm offering this victory to every Christian. I'm offering this victory to every believer. Believer. To every father and mother, to every son and daughter, to every husband and wife. God says, I offer this victory in the earth. And I put it as an illustration on the Word of God. And the Bible couldn't be more clear, because there are other scriptures in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Let every word of God be established. 1 Timothy 2:8 says, the Apostle Paul setting a standard for the churches. He said, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So this is the standard of the Lord for the church, that the men, and it's specific, it's not talking about the women or the children. In the Greek, it's, I will therefore that the men pray in all the churches. In all the churches. Is it going to be God's will or is it going to be man's will? Are hands going to be stretched out in power like Moses, or hands going to be at our sides or folded in the presence of the Lord? I will that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, that spirit of Moses, that spirit of faith, that spirit of conquest in them. You say, well, what about the women? Well, you know my standard answer. The women already had their hand up. They didn't have to be told. Hebrews 12 and verse 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down. The exhortation of the apostle who wrote the Hebrews, lift up the hands which hang down, strengthen the hands which hang down, strengthen your walk before the Lord. Lift up your hands in the presence of God so that you can experience victory, that you can have breakthrough, that your family can be blessed, that like Moses, you can take your family and the people of God on to their inheritance in the Lord. God and Moses. God and a man. The Bible says if two agree on earth as touching anything, it will be done of the Father which is in heaven. If two agree concerning the will of God on earth, it will be done of the Father in heaven. Now, if two people agree and the Lord comes in line with his will with those two people, how much more powerful is it if God and a person unite? Because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, one righteous woman accomplishes much. What if God and you unite in holy purpose and God says to you, whatever you the will of your spirit is in line with my spirit, I will bring to pass in your family, in your life, in your inheritance, I will bring it to pass. God says, I give you authority, I give you power to bind, and I give you power to loose, so that whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will also be bound in heaven. And the Lord says, that's the kind of power, that's the kind of prayer spirit I'm giving to my people if they will believe and they will walk in this manner before the Lord. That we can bind Satan's power, we can bind his attack. We can bind temptation. We can bind demonic spirits. We can bind the works of the flesh. We can bind our angers and our fears and deliver them as captives to the presence of God. And we can loose on earth. And God says, I'll loose in heaven. We loose the joy of the Lord on our lives. We loose healing. We loose the salvation of the Lord. We loose the word of God to have free course in our hearts. We loose the fruit of the Spirit. We loose the praise and worship and prayer ministries in our lives. God says, whatever you bind in on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. A hand has touched the throne. A hand has touched the throne. God and a man, Moses. And when his hands were up, there was victory. And as his hands came down, the enemy pressed in once again. God and a man, you. God and a woman. Again, that we would sense that compelling this morning by the Spirit of God, that we can change our life, we can change our future, we can change destiny in our family, we can break off the darkness, we can walk in the power and joy and fullness of the Lord. A hand has touched the throne. How many say this morning, I want to be counted there. I want to have a hand that can touch the throne. I pray that I would be found faithful and that God could accept the offering that I bring and the determination of my heart before Him, the fervency of my heart. So many beautiful illustrations in the Word of God. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy, he said, I remember your unfeigned faith, Timothy. I remember your sincere, undefiled, your fervent, your powerful faith toward the Lord, he said, which was first in your grandmother Lois and then in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded, I'm convinced that same faith, that same fervent power and fire of God is in you, Timothy. A grandmother that touched the throne of God. And blessing flowed down on her life, but went down to her daughter Eunice and went down to the grandson Timothy and kept flowing out in the earth. The Lord said to Noah in Genesis 7:1, Noah, come into the ark. Come into the place of safety. Come into the place of my salvation and my deliverance. Judgments are going to fall on the earth, but I've got a place for you. Bring your family. Noah, you come and bring your family because I have seen you righteous before me in this generation. My. I've seen you righteous, Noah, righteous by faith, but you've also conducted yourself in righteousness according to my precepts and principles. I've seen you righteous in this generation. Now come into the ark, you and your family. I'm providing a place of refuge for you. Hebrews 11 and 7 says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, of things to come, warned of judgment, warned of the judgments of God on a wicked and polluted world. It says that Noah, being warned of God in his spirit, he built an ark. He built an ark according to the blueprints that God gave him, according to the word of God. He built an ark to the saving of his house, and by it he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. God said, come into the ark. I receive you. Caleb in Joshua 15 and verse 9, the Lord said to him, surely the place where your feet have trodden, surely all the land, the promised land where your feet have walked, I will give to you and to your sons forever because you have wholly followed the Lord. Because you've wholly followed the Lord. A hand has touched the throne. Caleb touched the throne of God, and God says, where your feet have trodden, this land will surely be yours and your seeds after you because you completely followed me with all your heart. Prophetic word went out over David. Said, the Lord will certainly build you a sure house. The Lord will certainly build you a strong family and a strong future and an inheritance. Because Number one, you fight the battles of the Lord. You're involved with the kingdom warfare. You're involved with the Word of God. You're involved with worship. You're involved to make a difference in the earth and bring some of heaven into this earth and break the powers and dark of darkness and the immorality and the contention on the land. You have a desire to serve the Lord. He said, one, because you fight the battles of the Lord. And number two, because no evil has been found in you. Now, David was not yet 30 years of age. And the Lord said, I'm going to build you a sure house because you fight the battles of the Lord. You're a warrior for the kingdom. And because no iniquity has been found in you. We know years later, when David was about 50, that terrible blot that came across his life. Now he harbored sin in his heart and would not repent for that sin with Bathsheba and the murder of Bathsheba's wife in the war. And how the Lord came to him by Nathan the prophet, and the prophet rebuked him. And after 9 months of hardening his heart against God, even though he'd walked with God in such a wonderful way from his childhood, David broke in the presence of God and repented and cried out, create me a clean heart, purge me with hyssop, wash me and I will be whiter than snow. He broke in the presence of God, and God told him these words. God said to him, David, I took you from the sheepfolds. I took you when you were out in the back hills taking care of a few sheep. I took you from obscurity. I delivered your enemies into your hand. I anointed you with a kingdom ministry. I gave you houses and possessions. I gave you wealth and silver and gold. And God said, if that had not been enough, David, I would have done much more besides. David, if that wasn't enough for you, can you sense the heart of God? David, if that hadn't been enough for you, I would have done this and that. I would have done much more for you besides. And then God asks him, why did you take another man's wife? And why did you take another man's life? But in those words, we hear the heart of God. I would give you much more besides. God wants to give us an inheritance. God wants to bless our lives. God wants a hand to touch the throne so that we carve out a kingdom ministry and a kingdom strength in our lives and in our families. There's a man on the pages of the Bible by the name of Obed-Edom. When other people didn't care about the ark of God's presence, that felt presence of God with his people, when they said push the ark off into the back shed and leave it there, let it rot in the field. Disregard for the ark of God's presence. Disregard for the throne of God's presence and lordship of Christ in their lives and in their homes. But there was a man who had a heart for the ark of God. And Obed-Edom took that ark of God and brought it into his house, in among his family, his sons and daughters. And for 3 months, they guarded that ark of the covenant. They guarded the ark of God. They gathered about that ark. They worshiped. They opened the word. They opened their hearts to God. And for 3 months, blessing fell on everything that they put their hand to. Blessing of the Lord upon their lives, upon their personalities, upon their flocks and herds, everything they had. And at the end of 3 months, King David said, I'm taking the ark to Zion's hill. And David moved the ark a few miles down the road, through the hills and valleys, up to Zion's hill, the place of the mountain of the Lord in Jerusalem. And Obed-Edom looked at his family, and they looked at him, and they said, we can't live without the ark. We can't live without the ark of God's presence. And you know what Obed-Edom did? He packed up his life. He packed up his family, and they moved to the city of Jerusalem. They said, we're going to dwell on Zion's hill. We're going to live in the presence of God. A hand has touched the throne, God said. Somebody just touched me, God said. I felt virtue go out of me. I felt virtue go out of me. God says, who touched me? There's that family, Obed-Edom and his little children, his sons and grandsons, and they're going up to Zion's hill. They want to live in my presence. You know what the Bible says? God gave him, he had 8 sons. And it says, for God blessed him. God blessed him. God said, those sons, they're going to have 8 sons. He gave him 8 sons. And then God gave him 60 grandsons. 68 in all. 68 in all, as Chronicles later fills it out as they brought the history up to date. And Obed-Edom went to Zion's hill. He had no expectations, no vainglory in him. Some carnal way to seek a place or a position in the house of God. He said, no, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. But I want to dwell near the ark. I want to be close to God's presence. I want to be close to the worshipers and singers. I want to be close to the word. I want to be close where the prophetic anointing flows and the word of the Lord comes prophetically in the corporate gathering. Said, I'm coming close to the presence of the Lord. You know what he became? He became a doorkeeper in the house of God. He became a porter. And when you read Chronicles, there's this list. He wasn't a Levite. He had no natural right to have a place in the house of God and a place of ministry. He was not a Levite. He was not of the Levitical family. But yet when Chronicles is starting to list the names of the Levites and their order and what they did, all of a sudden interjected onto the page in 1 Chronicles 26 is the name of Obed-Edom and his sons and his grandsons. And then it goes back onto the Levitical family. A man that had no right with his family to be a part of the ministry was set right in there by God. God said, I'm going to make an exception. Because of this man and because of his spirit and because of his heart, a hand has touched the throne. I love reading about Obed-Edom. 8 sons and 60 grandsons. And the Bible says every one of them were men of strength. Everyone were skilled for service. Everyone were of a fervent heart. They were all able. They all stood in the house of God under Obed-Edom and his ministry and the generations to come, and they served the Lord. I mean, it's almost shocking to us if we look into a family and find out that all the sons and daughters and all the grandsons and all the granddaughters are serving the Lord. We're expecting a dropout rate. But God said, this man has touched the throne. This man has touched the throne. And I've looked at his sons and his grandsons, and I said, I will bless them, for God blessed him. An entire generation and generation following to serve the Lord. What a testimony of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This victory is not beyond us. This victory is not beyond us because the eyes of the Lord are searching to and fro through the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is perfect before him. Let's look at a few scriptures. Lamentations 2:19. The Bible says, arise, cry out in the night. In the beginning of the watches, pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up your hands toward him for the life of your young children. Arise, cry out in the night watches. Cry out in the night for your children. God says, lift up your hands, pour out your hand, pour out your heart like water. Let it flow. Let your heart flow with living waters. Jesus said, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. This he spoke of the Holy Spirit, that language of the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues, supernatural language, pouring out of our spirit in the night for our sons and our daughters and our grandchildren. Arise, God says, cry out in the night. Lift up your hands for the life of your children. Psalm 68:31. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God, or quickly. God says, I see Ethiopia. I see that land in the continent of Africa. I see a people that are stirring their hearts, and they are quickly reaching out to me. There's no sluggishness in them. There's not a sluggard among them, God says. They're reaching out to me. They're reaching out their hands, stretching out their hands to God. Psalm 63, 3-4, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. I will lift up my hands in your name. Lord, your loving kindness, your love, your miracle life to us is more than life itself. And this is the way we're going to praise you. We're going to have our hands lifted in your name, our hands stretched out to the heavens. Psalm 134, behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. We come and we begin to bless the Lord. We lift our hands. We stretch out our hands in desperation to the Lord, in yearning and longing to the Lord. And the Lord says, blessing is going to flow out of Zion upon you and your family and into the earth. 2 Chronicles 20:21, the time when King Jehoshaphat sent the singers out before the army, sent a band of minstrels, musicians and singers, worshipers out before the troops, up against an enemy he could not overcome in the natural. Verse 21 says, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord. The word praise in that instant, praise the Lord, is the word yada. It means to worship with extended hands, to throw out the hands in power. Those singers and worshipers had their hands up, singing, the Lord's mercy endures forever. The promises of God are true. God will fulfill his word. God will lead his people in righteousness. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. Hands lifted as those worshipers went out before the army. And the Bible says that God gave them such a great victory that day that they were 3 days in gathering up the spoils. 3 days. Verse 26 of the same chapter, it says, on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Beraka, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the place, of the same place, was called the very valley of Beraka unto this day. The place where they warred was changed. The name was changed to blessing. This is a valley of blessing. Sometimes we have to go up against giants in order to get spoils of war. Sometimes we have to break some heavy impasse and opposition to get the spoils of war. That valley originally was called the Valley of Baca, as you read in Psalm 84, which is attributed to King Jehoshaphat. A valley that was called the Valley of Baca, which means weeping. A valley of weeping. A valley of sorrow. Hands were down. People were discouraged. The enemies are strong. How are we going to receive the blessing of the Lord? How are we going to break this enemy? How are we going to walk forth in the power of God and presence of God? A valley of weeping. But afterwards, King Jehoshaphat wrote that psalm and he said, they make the Valley of Baca a pool. And the rain fills the pools and it becomes a well. And one translation, perhaps more literal, says they make Jehovah a fountain. They make Jehovah living water when they're walking through the valley of weeping and sorrow and darkness and trial. They make that valley a place of rain, the rain of heaven. They make that place a place of the living fountains of God. They call on the Lord until living waters flow. And that day the valley of Baca, weeping, was changed to the valley of Beraka, the blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. God says, send out the singers, hands up in the presence of the Lord, calling out on God, desperate, desperate for the work of God in their lives. Hands thrown out in power, a hand to touch the throne of God, a hand to touch the throne. Well, let's close out with Exodus 17 again. Verses 11 to 13, it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. I pray for spiritual understanding today. Lifting our hands goes far beyond the immediate place where we stand. We're reaching out hands, and God says, a hand has touched the throne. A hand has touched the throne. Why do we lift our hands in the house of God? Why do we lift our hands with power? Why do we extend our hands with such desperation? Because we want to touch the throne of God. Because we want victories. We want breakthrough. We want deliverance in our families. We want godly inheritance. We want the blessing of the Lord to prosper. God and a man bringing forth deliverance and life in the earth. Bible says, I will that the men pray in all the churches, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. Without wrath. Is there any wrath in our hearts today? Some anger, some frustrations, some offense? God says, I want holy hands without wrath. Is there anyone here today that would charge God foolishly because you face a disappointment in your life? Lift up holy hands without wrath. Lord, you are true and righteous in all your ways. There's no darkness in you. All your ways are true. All your ways are justice. So I come with that surrender. Lift your hands without doubting. Without doubting. Let God be true and every man a liar. This word is truth and will never fail. What God says, he will perform. Hath he spoken and will he not make it good? Or hath he said and will he not do it? Behold, I have received commandment to bless. He has blessed, and nobody can reverse it. We hold on to the promises of God, no matter what our emotions are saying, what our feelings are dictating, what our circumstances are bringing across our life, without doubting, knowing that through the trials of faith and the walk of this earth, God will be entirely faithful to every one of us as we serve him with a sincere and holy heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand this morning. It's Holy Thanksgiving Day. Hallelujah. Jeremiah said, let us lift up our heart with our hands. It's not simply the lifting up of our hands, you know that. He says, let's lift up our heart with our hands. And in that desperation, in that cry, in that longing and yearning after God, God will give victories and we will see the inheritance unfold. A hand has touched the throne. Let's worship the Lord together this morning. If there's anyone who would like to respond to the altars today, come and pour out your heart before the Lord. Perhaps for your own life, some family member. Perhaps there's a need that you'd like the prayer team to pray with you concerning that. Please slip out from where you are. But for the next few moments, let's make this an intimate time with the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm like Moses. I'm just a man. I'm just a woman. Yeah, just like Moses was. But God said his hand touched the throne, and God is calling us today. That same spirit of faith, that same believing spirit upon our lives, to know that we can change the course of our life. We can change the course of our family. We can inherit a promised land by the word of the Lord. Look down the road. sons and daughters, grandsons and granddaughters, generations to come. Oh God, that we might be like Obed-Edom. That we might be like Obed-Edom, Lord. Not one has failed. Not one has fallen away from the Lord. Not one sluggard among them. Everyone serving the Lord with a full and faithful heart. Hands that touch the throne this morning. Let's call on the name of the Lord.